It is a beautiful day of April here down on the coast of Texas, April the 24th, and we are so pleased to offer the blessings of Christ to the world. Welcome to everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing your hearts, your joy, your problem, your realities, and your hopes into this call. And we welcome every single one of you. We are here every Sunday to make our blessings available to your needs and your purposes. And we thank you, God, for that so, so very much. Is there anyone who would like to come into our call and ask for a blessing or let us know how you're doing or just say hello? I will go through the call board. Remember, it's star 6 and then 1. We have Margaret Avery, and your line is on. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. First, I want to thank you for having my name on the prayer list last week through Elizabeth Grant. And this week, we need to put Elizabeth Grant on the prayer list.
Oh, my goodness. Of course.
Yes. She found out that she has a small aneurysm on her brain, and we are trying to pray, do everything we can to help that go away. So if we could put her on the prayer list, that would be great. Thank you.
It would be my pleasure, and she's there now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for speaking up and letting us know that.
Yes.
So we will be, let me move on and see who else is on. We have a caller from Edmonton, and I believe that would be Desmond. Hello, Desmond.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi. My grandma, she went into the hospital, and she got ammonia, and she's not having a problem eating, and she needed to eat to get healthy, and my speed of thought just wasn't able to, you know, take care of her before this happened. But my grandma's been very okay. We hung out a lot in the winter in the last 9 years. I spent a lot of time with my grandma, and she's okay with dying. But her brother and my dad and, you know, the rest of the family, they all really need her and they love her. And my grandma is a, you know, a really lovely person in their lives. So if she lives, wonderful. And if she passes, I hope that, I don't know how to say anything about that. It's going to be kind of new for me, but, I just wanted to add my grandma Marlene, into our blessings.
Indeed. And we had her there last week as well.
Oh,
so,
and I talked to her, and her heart was just extraordinary. Like, there's so much light. But she still ended up getting, but thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And give her my love.
I will.
My deepest hopes with you, Desmond, and your grandmother. I know how important she is in your life and what a lovely person she is. So we have two more callers, one from area code 216, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, hi. And hi to everybody on the call. My name's Mary, and I'm in Ohio, and I know there's a lot of new callers listening sometimes. So I just really wanted to take this moment to talk about the love of this community and some grace that I've been given so very much because of it. I've been a part of this community since 1998. I was just looking at, actually, the way, Glenda, the way your messages used to come in the paper mail. I have a binder of old messages from Spiritus Community. But I wanted to share that, I first of all, I love you, Desmond, and you're in my prayers, and so is every soul on this call. I had such a profound experience, Glenda, through an email that you sent out, and it was, like so many people who are listening, I'm having some challenges in my life that are prompting me to make a leap of faith. And sometimes I think I'm made of equal parts of fear and faith. And mm-hmm. one day I was kind of floundering in my, I'll just call it a sea of some despair I was having, and I got your email about this beautiful, wonderful man named Mark. And what happened to me during reading about Mark was that I had an instant feel of electricity, of the leap of faith that you were taking in reaching out towards all of us, and the leap of faith we took towards you in support of this man who had supported all of us. And when I began to pray for him, I was actually elevated into a sea of hope. And whenever I would go into my prayers to pray for him, as I continue to do, I just can't tell you, the profound awareness was always that my prayer was never please, it was always thank you. It was thank you for letting me be part of the flow and currency of the community of faith. Thank you for letting me be part of this man's story, and thank you for the upliftment that it's given to me. And so now also, along with that, as a blessing giver, I used to question myself when I would begin to pray. I would almost stop myself and just lay my heart, my whole heart, on God's altar, because I no longer felt like I really had to voice a prayer, because God knows my story more than I do, better than I do. And in fact, when I offer a prayer or receive the blessing, I actually receive that blessing for everyone I've ever loved, ever in my life. And so it just feels like the outreach of this blessing in this community is so vast that mm-hmm. I just get to see the new layers every day, and I'm just so grateful. So thank you, and I love you all.
Oh, Mary, that's such a beautiful, beautiful response. That could have been today's message all in itself. And yes, we are such an incredible community where we come. Each of us, we come with our heart on a platter, offering it to God at the altar. I mean, literally, we do, because we come to the point where believing is our greatest power. We know that faith is ultimately second only to love, and the power that actually is the engine behind our love. It's as if love is the train on the tracks, and the engine that pushes it is faith. And we know that without faith, nothing pushes the love forward. And I am contacted by so many people during my days and my weeks, and especially in the, I don't know what it's been, but in the last 6 months, it's been so richly filled with people who are willing to trust. And let me tell you, that's a very big thing for people who are hurting, because the most natural tendency we all have when we're hurting or afraid or in grief or fearing loss is that we put up our defenses. We close down ourselves. We put an armor around our heart, our life, and we don't even feel the courage or the desire to talk. So when people will open themselves up for God, miracles happen, and it's not just for them. The miracle also happens for everyone who offers into their need. Charity is a divine communal flow that, as you say, it just moves in all directions. It's like currency, and it's like a current that moves around the planet, a deep ocean current that just moves and moves. And I think about how the great whales move millions of miles in a lifetime, flowing on the deep sea currents. There is that current going always and forever for all of us if we would just allow ourselves to dive in and flow with it. It's always there. And sometimes all it takes is the need of another person, because, you see, when we're into our own needs, that's when we're most likely to have our armor up. That's when we're most likely to have our defenses up and say, well, all right, I'm feeling terrible, but I don't know who to trust, and I don't know who could help me. And so there it is. God, if you hear my prayer, I'd appreciate it, but I just don't know where to go or who to trust or what to do. And that's the end of that prayer. But somebody else needs something. That's when we let our defenses down. That's when we take a chance. That's when we step up to the plate and we say, yes, I can be important for this person. I may not be able to do anything for my life, but I can be important for that person. I can make a difference. And then you know what happens? It comes right back around to you.
Amen, Glenda. And that's exactly what happened to me, because I was floundering, and then it's the exact words you said. I felt like, pay attention here. And as soon as I went into my heart for Mark and for you, I was elevated so profoundly. And so thank you for all of these teachings. Sometimes I listen, and then I'm graced with a demonstration. So you actually send demonstrations. So God bless you all. Thank you.
You are so welcome, and God bless you too, Mary, for you just being you and for all that you do. We love you so much.
Thank you.
And we have a caller from area code 646. Hi, you're on.
Oh, Glenda, this is Elizabeth. Margaret's already asked for me.
Oh, hi.
Hi, yes. Margaret's already done it, so I was just going to ask for prayers for this little brain aneurysm that I was diagnosed with, and I believe that with your prayers and my positive visualization of it shrinking every day, by the time I go to the doctor on May 10th, there'll be nothing there.
I believe so, too. I totally believe so. And just remember, at you and everyone else, what we put our attention on grows. So, yes. And what we take our attention off disappears.
Exactly.
So, we wish it no harm. If it needed to be there, then God bless it.
Exactly.
And we pray that it's come and served its purpose, and perhaps it had a purpose as well. Perhaps it had a purpose to come into your life and demonstrate that miracles are still possible. Mm-hmm. So we bless it for whatever purpose it has, and now we take our attention off of it completely so that we can put our attention on the miracle and the miracle of your life and the beauty and the love of your life.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
So let me just scoot around the board and see if there's anyone else who wants to speak or let us hear about their needs right now. It looks like we have a clean board. And 10 minutes to share. So I am going into. So I would really, really like to talk to you today a little bit more about this subject of receiving. It's our way of participating in the blessing. And it's also why it's so important for us to ask. It's not that God needs us to beg or be beggars. It's not that God needs us to supplicate ourselves and list our needs before him and say, oh, Lord, please help this and please help this person. And that's not why. I want to tell you why we need to ask. And the reason we need to ask is very simple. Because no two people receive anything to the same degree. I think you've noticed, let's just use an ordinary life example. No two people, or three or four, come to the dinner table with the same appetite, or appetite for the same thing, or the same ability, once eaten, to utilize the nourishment in the same identical way. We all consume everything from food to air to blessings to everything else, human communication, love, education. We receive it all differently. Even the depth of our breath is different for each of us. And there's a lot about that one subject that contributes to aging. Namely, as we stop using the fullness of our lungs, we actually lose the size of our lungs. And as we lose the size and capacity of our lungs and how we put breath into our lungs, we do not oxygenate our body as well. When we don't oxygenate our body as well, well, guess what? When we drink water, the water we drink is not retained as well. And we begin dehydrating. Now, why would that be? Well, water is H2O. Part of our breath, a very big part of our breath, is oxygen. And the ability for our lungs to differentiate oxygen from the other gases that are contained in the breath and to consume the oxygen, place it into our bloodstream, and distribute it for use throughout our body. And the oxygen that we have in our bloodstream has a great deal to do with our ability to utilize and retain the water we drink, which is then hydration. Hydration nourishes the soul, the cells of our body. It cleanses our body. It purifies our body. It allows our body to release toxins and to just vitalize our body with more energy, more pure, direct earth energy. So where am I going on this? Well, the basic fundamental part of this is that whatever we receive of one kind reinforces our ability to receive in another kind. And what we receive on all levels in all kinds creates a broader base of receivership and makes us more fully a receiver, not only of the blessings of God, but also the blessings of the earth, the blessings of humanity, the blessings of our beloved little pet, or our career, our jobs, whatever we do in life. A lot of what we get from what we do is measured by what we can receive in return. And it's not because we go into things in order to get, just as Mary was saying when her heart spoke up to help Mark and his family. She wasn't thinking at all about what she would get from it. In fact, she wasn't thinking she would get anything. She just released all of her interest in receiving in order to give. But amazingly, surprisingly, and profoundly, she started receiving. First on a cognitive level, then on an emotional level, then on a realization level, and then an awakening level that started revitalizing her life. In other words, there were many levels on which she received in return. Back in the days when I was a teacher at the university, I noticed that there was a wide range of receiving on the part of my students that had absolutely nothing to do with how bright they were, how eager they were to be there and get through that class and on to the next one. It had a lot to do with how willing they could be to relax into the subject and let the subject be them. In other words, let the subject become them. How they could synthesize the subject with themselves. How they could relate to the subject. I'm not talking to study for memorization exams because I knew it was a waste of time. I would forget about it. And I probably would get answers wrong that really shouldn't have been wrong in the first place. I agonized over that. Fill in the blanks. Oh, I hated that too. All of that. And I didn't even like essays because it meant I would have to come up with a theme, something I would have to compose around a subject. I came up with some really, really ingenious ways of teaching people. And I was very, very proud of that. And because of that, I got A-plus teacher ratings back in those years. And it was all based on the idea that students have to relate to their subject. If they don't relate to their subject, they won't retain their subject. If they don't see there's any ability to retain their subject, they won't relax into it and receive anything about it. One of my classic examples is when in art appreciation class, I had the whole OU football team in that class, and they were national champions in that year, so you know I had to pass every single one of them. And the thought of passing them without them earning their grades just annoyed me to no end. I knew the coach would call me. I knew pressure would be put on me. It was just a political thing. So I looked at their faces, and I saw how bored they were. I saw how much it didn't relate to them at all. So I kept them after class, and I said, okay, boys, tomorrow, skip class. And, well, instantly I saw smiles from that, and I said, but after class, you're going to meet me on the quadrangle with your footballs. And I'm going to bring a whiteboard, and we're going to talk about plays. And we're going to compare plays that you exercise in a game to compositions in drawings and paintings. And you're going to show me how to make passes with the ball, how to catch the ball, and I'm going to show you how that relates to brush strokes and how it relates to chisel marks and chiseling into stone. And we're going to talk about art in terms of what you do best, okay? Well, I got nothing but smiles, and I don't think any one of them made an A in the class, but they all got respectable passing grades, and they all got those grades legitimately. Okay, so what I want to recommend to all of you is that you start relating in life to times when you have been blessed. Maybe you got a raise you didn't expect. Maybe you got a new friend you didn't expect. Maybe something happened in a dream, in a conversation. Maybe you got an idea that was brilliant. Maybe you were really afraid of a serious diagnosis, and you got to the doctor, and he said, oh, that's nothing. Here, let me tell you about that. I want you to start relating to what it feels like to get a blessing. And I want you to receive this and to receive all of your blessings in the future from this state of mind of feeling what it feels like to be blessed. Not from the outside of, gee, I wish I could be blessed. I wonder what that would feel like. You see the difference? I want you to be on the inside of the blessing, where you're past your armor, you're past what defenses might ever keep you from receiving a blessing. Getting back to my teaching people years ago, I could have two equally enthusiastic people, equally intelligent people wanting to learn. One would learn brilliantly and the other would never get over questions. And the difference is that person that would never get over their questions, could never ever relate to the subject, is they just weren't ready for it. They just weren't able to be in a place of relating to the subject. It had nothing to do with intelligence. It had nothing whatsoever to do with what that person was capable of learning. The time was just not right for that person to relate to the subject, or perhaps to me. Sometimes, and I've actually done this, sometimes I would suggest that next year, take this course over again with a different person. Or sometimes I would say, put away this textbook. I'm going to recommend a different book for you to read, because there was something about textbooks that just didn't do it for that person. You know, that kind of textbook language? I could find a different book for that person. They could relate to that book and learn beautifully. So, my friends, in all that you do in life, learn what you learn to respect, what you relate to. That is the beginning of all relationships, is learning how you relate to everything, how you relate to food, how you relate to your sleep time, your waking time, how you relate to people. You could love people a lot and really want to do some good in the world, but you just don't find it easy to walk up to people and talk to them. Find a different way to relate to them. There's as many ways to relate to people as there are stars in the sky. Just find a different way. Work on how you relate. Get underneath the covers that you've built around yourself. And don't even worry about why those covers got put there. Don't even worry why the defenses were put there. They were put there probably as scar tissue from something in the past that made you timid or shy or feel unworthy or feel scared. But it doesn't matter why you put the defenses there. Just get underneath them and they'll go away. That's how simple it is. Find your path underneath and beyond all the defenses. Find what you can relate to with all your heart, and you will get beyond your defenses. You will start absorbing. You will start taking nourishment into your being. You will start having faith. See, this is what Yeshua did for everyone whose lives he touched then, for everyone whose lives he touches today, is people would walk up to him, and he was so unlike anyone they had ever known. They just trusted him. They walked to him and they loved him. They walked up to him and they had no defenses and they could just sit down beside him. And he knew how to talk to them without them putting up their defenses. And he would just ask them how they were doing. They would tell him, and he would touch them and they would be healed. It was so simple. And you say, but yes, we're talking about the Son of God. Well, my friends, so are you. So are you. The difference between you and him is you walk around with all your defenses around you. He didn't. He came here fresh and new and empowered with the light of God. And he knew he came here to be courageous and brave and true and open all the days of his life, no matter what, to the very end. And everybody sensed that about him. Everybody knew that about him. As you trust him now, he's here with you now. So I'm gonna pray to him, and I want to ask you to go into your heart, and I just want you to feel his presence with you. And you don't have to put your defenses down about anything else. Don't try to get over and around anything else. Just just be with him and say thank you for being with me. I so love you. Whatever is going on in my life, my friend, my Lord, my brother, my teacher, I love you. I just love you. I just want to be with you. My faith is with you. I know you love me. Can we just sit here and be together? And he'll say, of course. That's all I came for. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. So blessing givers, please join me now. I will say a prayer to Yeshua. The rest of you, just hold him with you until my prayer is finished. And then you can begin your prayer, but your prayer could be anything. It could just be sitting there with him, holding hands. It could be whatever you want. However you relate to him, to God, to the Holy Spirit. Dear Yeshua, our beloved, thank you for your grace, your simple grace, that you came here to be with us, and your wonderful promise that you will always be with us on earth or in heaven above. You have come to be with us, to join with us, and be with us forever. And in that, we can find grace in our life. Without ever having to look at the scarcities, or the hurts, or the defenses, or the problems, or the conflicts. We're simply with you, and in you our life grows stronger, and brighter, more capable, more fluid with spirit, more filled with blessings on all levels. And our heart is made whole again. For all this and more that we cannot even see, we thank you forever. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Receivers, you can begin your prayer. May you be filled with the light of Christ. Your blessing is complete. Now, go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Lie down on your bed or in a reclining chair. That's okay, too. As long as you don't think or be active, just release everything to God, to the Holy Spirit, and to the light of Christ within you. Bye-bye for now. God loves you, and so do I. I look forward to being with you again next week.